Hey, folks, before we get into the episode, I wanted to reach out with an opportunity from one of our friends, 1,000 Friends of Florida, and it's a four-part free online seminar starting in April 4th to May 1st. It's kind of spaced out every week. It's called Planning to Protect the Florida Wildlife Corridor, and it's four parts. And it's presented by the University of Florida Center for Landscape Conservation Planning, who was a big inspiration behind the Florida Wildlife Corridor, and 1,000 Friends of Florida. And by the way, 1,000 Friends, they have these like monthly webinars all the time, and you can watch past webinars all about, you know, planning, development, and growth issues facing Florida. I highly recommend them. But this four-part series is going to be all about the corridor. Thursday, April 4th is going to be looking at the big picture. And they're a couple hours long, so you don't have to make it live. You can also watch the recordings, but I just want to make sure you know about them. Part 2, April 10th, is Fostering Community Vision. Part 3, Planning Toolbox. It's the following week. And then the last week, Wednesday, May 1st, is Building a Big Tent. And you can find out information from all four of those right there on the website, 1000friendsofflorida.org/upcoming-webinars. And I will link that. But I just wanted to let you know this show, the big idea behind the show, the connection and protection of wild Florida, has so much to do with the corridor, the Florida Wildlife Corridor, that 18 million acre green infrastructure, that green space, all connected all throughout the state of Florida for plants and animals and us to explore freely and thrive. That idea is such a big part of this show, and this four-part series will be such a great tool for you to watch and learn. I'm not going to be able to go to all these live. I already know I got work travel planned during some of these, but you better believe when I get to the hotel that night or I'm got some time, I'm going to be watching them because this is going to be some really good information. It's also going to see where this project is up to date, like what is going on with the corridor, how much are we progressing, and I encourage you to do the same. You know, this show is all about educating the average Floridian on the topics here in Florida. So when these opportunities come about, please take advantage of them. And as I find them, I'll try my best to share them. All right, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. It's a really, really good one. Hey folks, welcome to Florida Uncut, the podcast all about the people behind the protection and connection of wild Florida. And what's cool is sometimes those people, well, they connect together to do cool stuff. Today we're talking to Tracy Dean and Chad Crawford, who joined forces to create a really compelling docuseries about the state of Florida and what it's going to take to protect it. And it's called Protect Our Paradise. You can watch it for free at discoverfloridachannel.com. Like I said, it's a six-part series that talks all about the corridor, our water, our growth, wildlife, as Chad makes his way around the state. And it was produced in partnership with Conservation Florida, in which Tracy Dean is the CEO of. It came out last summer, but the information is still very fresh. And these problems have not gone away since it came out. So there's still so much to do. You may recognize Chad's name. He's hosted tons of shows, including the very well-known How to Do Florida. He's a third-generation Floridian and a four-time Emmy Award-winning producer and director. And Tracy is a sixth-generation Floridian, and with her role at Conservation Florida, she is at the forefront of so many efforts to protect large swaths of land all across the state. So it was a pleasure to talk to these two enormously influential people at the same time. And if you haven't already, find some time, go to discoverfloridachannel.com and watch Protect Our Paradise. It's so worth it. You're going to learn so much. In audio, you can learn a lot with audio. I'm a big fan. I'm a little biased. But seeing it, even on screen, takes it to a whole new level. Let's get started. All right, folks, welcome to Florida Uncut. You heard a little of Chad and Tracy's story in the intro, but we're going to welcome them now. So great to have y'all on. How you doing?
Doing good. Thank you, Mason.
Yeah, so great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, where are each of y'all coming from? I want to know, where in Florida are you about? I think, Chad, I'm not going to, I don't know for sure you're in Florida, but by your background, I'd have to say you're kind of smacked out right in the heart of Florida somewhere.
Well, I say Lake Mary. Those who don't know where Lake Mary is, I say Lake Mary, Sanford area. Or I say draw a line from Orlando to Daytona and kind of smack in the middle. That's where I was born and raised. I have moved three times here in Lake Mary, all within a mile of each other. So I'm in my office. I'm looking out the window And I used to play football on this field where the city hall is. I could look down the street and see where I grew up. I can look across the street at Lake Mary Boulevard and see where I went to elementary school and my kids did. So I've kept it pretty tight around this area.
No, I mean, you're talking about looking out your window right now and seeing
my office window. Well, my office, that's on Lake Mary. Yep.
Wow. All I see is my shed, but, you know, it's okay, but it's not that. How about you, Tracy?
I'm in Orlando. I'm about 30 minutes from Chad, just outside of downtown Orlando, which is where Conservation Florida is headquartered. And we do that because, you know, we work statewide, so it's a nice central place, but I call it Orlando home and I love it.
That's awesome. And you know, congrats to Tracy on recently the Lightsey Family Ranch. I know that was news just yesterday and kind of this week. And, you know, that speaks to what y'all do. But what I really want to talk about today is kind of that idea behind Protect Our Paradise and how, kind of that form of media and what how that came to be. Because it seemed like a little bit different than from what both of y'all have been doing. Chad, you've been producing all these awesome series, but this seemed like a divergence from what you typically talked about, the tone and kind of the scope of what you normally do. And same with y'all, Tracy, with Conservation Florida, just like a totally different project. And I just kind of wanted to hear, how did this come together? What was that like, the responses so far, and why you think this is important?
The origins of this really started with, you know, me doing How to Do Florida for over 15 years, 13 seasons, over 120 episodes. And look, I don't think anybody has seen Florida quite like I have in terms of as many places, activities, people I've met. And through the course of that 15 years, I've seen Florida change. I've seen Florida change in my lifetime, but really in these last 15 years. And it really kind of stopped me in several moments where I'm like, you know what, I need to do something and offer something that really lets my viewers in on what I'm being let in on, which was that, you know, we're losing the Florida that we love and on so many different levels. And I also honestly believe that if people know and they're empowered with that knowledge, that they'll act and they'll do something about it. But a lot of it is people just don't know what they don't know. And that's because they just moved here 2 weeks ago. And they're just trying to figure out where the Publix is or how my kids get to school. They're not concerned about the Everglades or, you know, pollution in our water or our growth. They're just kind of getting used to their new home. And so that's kind of where this started was I kept saying, and I know me and Tracy had lots of conversations. We would say, I've shown people how to do Florida. This is showing people how to save Florida. And that's really kind of what was the origins of this idea. And then later that relationship with Conservation Florida came to be. And that partnership is what ultimately got this done.
Awesome. Yeah. So for us, we were approached by Chad with this really awesome idea, you know, to show Floridians and our many visitors how to save Florida, to show people a side of Florida that not all of us get to experience every day. For us as a nonprofit, that really, really spoke to us. You know, we are out in the field all the time experiencing corners of wild Florida and pockets of wild Florida that most people don't ever experience. Like, to your point, Mason, you know, asking the question, what's Lake Okeechobee, right? And so to get the chance to share with folks the beauty of our wild places, for example, you know, a vast cattle ranch in the middle of the Northern Everglades or the depths of a Florida spring. And frankly, the difference between a healthy spring and a not healthy spring or, you know, a gorgeous old growth forest. This show was able to broadcast that to Floridians across the state and is now live streaming to any viewer who wants to experience the wild places of Florida, and then provides an opportunity for people to get involved in protecting it. And so as for us as a nonprofit, the show was a no-brainer. You know, it's a way to invite people into our mission and really experience the why and then provide an opportunity to help protect So we had a really generous family that supports conservation throughout Florida, the Bellini family, who was looking to support a project like this and did so very generously. And so for us, we were just really, really proud to connect with Chad and get to work together on a project like this.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, how about you, Chad? I know with a lot of your other shows and stuff you've produced over the last 15 years, this hasn't been the focus, but obviously you're seeing a lot of this stuff as you drive to the next set or, you know, just being a fan of Florida and being an explorer of Florida yourself, but you're not necessarily diving specifically into these topics and talking to these scientists. Did you feel like your personal knowledge of these topics just exploded with this series, or was a lot of this not news to you?
No, it was. And you know, me and Tracy throughout this process would talk about, this feels very heavy. You know, as a filmmaker, you know that you really have a lot of power. Media can be used for good. It can be used to manipulate. It can be used to communicate whatever message you want. And it's a very powerful tool. Probably one of the most powerful tools we have on our planet is the ability to shape hearts and minds with media. And so as a filmmaker, you feel that. It literally feels like something on your shoulder. You feel the weight of that. Now, normally for me, that weight is very light. I go out and shoot a show called How to Do Florida. It's fun, silly. I say it's part ridiculous, part genius, which I think is what Florida is, right? It embodies Florida. Protect Our Paradise was different. It felt heavy. I felt it everywhere we went, everybody we talked to. This is like, you know, not how to catch lobster. This is like how to save our springs. You know, this is a very big topics that require sometimes solutions that aren't in sight. Some of them are, and it's some scary stuff, but at the same time, there's a lot of hope there, a lot of great people. I feel like in this state, we have really kind of turned the tide on conservation, and where conservation has become just this big thing. You know, when I grew up, it was save the manatees, and it was small little movements, but now conservation is so woven into everything that we do, and it will continue to do that. And so I think the timing of this was good, but to answer your question, this is very different than anything I've ever done. And there was times I questioned, like, can I do this? You know, like, and I know me and Tracy back and forth, we had to make a lot of decisions, like, what goes in, what stays, like what topics do we cover? Who do we talk to? You know, all those decisions felt heavy and important. I know you would echo that too, Tracy.
I do. And, you know, in our conversations, and like Chad said, we had many of them. It got very, very heavy sometimes with what we were witnessing, what we were filming, what we were discussing, what we were looking to share with viewers. But I don't think there's anybody better to share the gravity of what needs to be done than Chad and his team. You know, he really has been showing us how to experience all that Florida has to offer. And this show was different. We're talking about how to save the place that we love and how to save our home. And in order to do that, we had to talk about what some of our problems are. And a lot of them are uncomfortable, right? We don't love looking in the mirror and saying, man, you know, I'm part of the problem. But this show helped all of us, including me, realize that there's so much more that we can do to protect this place that we love. And so when love is involved, it gets heavy. And both of us really experienced the gravity of it all many times throughout the production of this series.
Well, and I can say, Mason, there were several times when my director, Katie Schroeder, who did a phenomenal job directing the series, I would do something silly or say something silly because it's really kind of who I am. It's my,
you know, serious.
And then she would be like, what are you doing? No, this is like not funny. Like, this is serious. You need to get serious. And so there was times when I would just kind of like, I think that's my nature, is to kind of want to lighten things up with humor. And like, I just, there was times when like, that just wasn't what we needed. You know, we needed to feel the heaviness and the weight of the situation. And so there was many times when she would just be like, what are you doing? Like, you're being ridiculous. Like, this, you need to really like absorb this. But so it was a little bit of a transition for me, but gosh, man, I so proud of what we put together.
I mean, it wasn't, you know, flipping a yard is wonderful, but this is definitely a different beast as far as the topic. Well, I tell you what, when I watched it, I didn't get doom. I got urgency. That was kind of my overarching feeling. It was,
we love that.
Yeah. It was really the sense of urgency from the music to the scenes to your attitude, really. You know, it's almost like when a hurricane's coming, you're like, okay, it's not the end of the world. It's like, okay, now it's time to get the work done. Like, we got to prepare the house, prepare the yard, do all those things we got to do. But, you know, basically it was get to work. So hopefully that's the same that others felt as well. So, Chad, I asked you what you learned through the process and how much knowledge you had to gain. How about you, Tracy? You mentioned you learned a lot too. What's something you think you walked away with doing this project that is going to help change the way you do your work?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, beyond, look, I've never helped produce a TV show before. Our team has never been involved in producing a TV show before. And so to get to work with Chad and his team, his director, Katie, incredible. That was pretty eye-opening. So that alone, the power of storytelling in bringing people into a mission is so strong. And that was really, really cool to experience. And we're continuing to experience it. You know, we've had a few landowners reach out and say, hey, I just watched this TV show and, you know, I'm not an environmentalist, but you know what? I am a Floridian and I care and I want to do my part. And that is what we wanted the show to do. We wanted it to reach people where they are and invite them in into a table that's big enough to seat everybody. You know, this is an issue that we know will take all of us getting involved in order to solve. And so to your point, Mason, we weren't doom and gloom, and we were purposeful in our language. And so that's another thing we really learned is how to artfully and thoughtfully invite people into a tough place, a tough mission, in a way that where we all know that there's something that we can do as individuals, and that individually, all of us together, we can do something incredible. So, you know, besides how to make a TV show, I really learned how many people, and this was really fulfilling for me as an individual, how many people out there care, and how many people are out there doing everything that they can to protect our home. And that was really awesome to experience. And so alongside the tough spots, there were a lot of bright ones too. And meeting people and getting to hear their stories and sort of how they're doing their part and their part of this bigger solution was cool.
Well, and I love, you know, Tracy, what you were just saying that you had that lander call and say, I'm not an environmentalist, but I love Florida. And that's really, that's what it's about. You know, growing up in Florida, there was a lot of silos. If you were a fisherman, you didn't like conservationists, and there was a lot of these walls up against people who loved Florida and the people who wanted to protect Florida. You know, there was a lot of resentment in these groups that kind of didn't work together. And I remember growing up and, you know, just not being kind of raised not to like environmentalists, that they're trying to take away resources from me as a someone who hunts and fish. And I would say today, a lot of those walls, if not all of them, are gone. And there is this overarching sentiment that, look, like what we have is special and we all have to work together to save this. I love that. And that's why growing up, so much of conservation was very species specific. It was save the manatee, it was save the eagle, save the alligator. And then, you know, getting to learn about what Conservation Florida does, which is basically, you know, acquiring land and making sure there'll not be a Walmart on that land in 15 years and saving that land for perpetuity forever so that these species can live and do what they do. You know, and I think that's something that we really wanted people to understand, that brand and that style of conservation, where we're not just trying to save an eagle or a panther. We're trying to save the land the panther lives on and let the panther do what the panther does,
which still offers a lot of times recreational opportunity, not always, of course, but that's where we have adventures. That's where we do these things. That's where we paddle. That's where we hunt, all that stuff. It's going down to the very root of the problem. And as you know, one of the guests of the series, Clay Henderson, said, you know, one of his quotes that he always says is, you know, don't fight it, just buy it, damn it. And talking about the land itself, just get the land and then you don't have to worry about it. A lot of these other problems are solved. You know, what do you think a misconception you had about protecting Florida or the future of Florida was that you learned was untrue through this series? And that might be hard to just kind of come up with something, but
I can answer it in sort of a little bit of a different way. So there's a common misconception in the environmental space or the greater conservation space, I'd say, about who contributes to the overall environmental health or conservation goals of Florida. And I think what we really tried to do is showcase to viewers the many different faces of conservation in Florida, and that varies here. And here in Florida, that includes agriculture, that includes sportsmen, that includes the Department of Defense. You know, that includes people walking the Capitol and knocking on doors, and that includes people who are knocking on doors to make sure that you have a trash can that's bear friendly. I mean, it includes so many different people, a lot of folks who've watched have said to me, man, you know, I had no idea that the Air Force was so involved in conservation in Florida, or man, I didn't know that ranches were that beautiful or important at all. And that's great, because at the end of the day, when you talk about protecting wildlife, probably one of the last things you're going to think about is, okay, well, let's protect a pasture where we're raising cattle, or let's protect land around a bombing range. But my goodness, in Florida, that stuff matters. And so we hope to debunk some of that, or if not debunk, then introduce some of the many players in the greater land conservation game in Florida and broaden horizons.
That's a great answer. Maybe it's not a misconception you held, but one that you felt like people held that have responded to this somehow. And that's a great one. Who is involved in this? And it is so many when you start diving into how many pieces of the puzzle there are, and that everyone really does play a role in one way or the other. And Chad, probably you know this more than anybody, all the way down to your own backyard, literally, can be a part of Wild Florida and help. But did anything come to mind?
Yeah, nothing worth mentioning. I think I was just more shocked at, you know, some statistics around growth and some statistics around water use. You know, some of those things that are in the piece that we tried to very clearly lay out.
The 2070 plan.
Yeah, the 2070 report. Obviously, that really rung my bell. And even getting back to the origins of this, were a part of that. That's why I wanted to go and make this a part of it, because I remember reading that and it just really scaring the you know what out of me. Our growth rate, how much water that we need by 2070 with our current growth trajectory. And you know, it's just, it's, you know, Florida's gonna have to make some tough decisions on how we grow, you know, what we save. I don't want to take this away from Tracy. She says, what we, you know, what's your line there, Tracy?
What we save and what we pave.
What we save and what we pave for the next 10 years will really shape and define Florida. And that's really true. It happens to rhyme. It's a great statement that I've used over and over. But, you know, we got to make some tough decisions, and we have to have leaders that are in a place to make some tough decisions, because, you know, there is a price for this progress. And, you know, we have to kind of reconcile with that. But, you know, we hope the peace. I think probably one of the most impactful episodes was growth, just because I had not seen a piece specifically on growth in Florida. You know, I've seen pieces on springs and the corridor and other areas that we cover, but nothing about growth. And I think there's a reason for that. Nobody wants to really talk about it, you know, because growth so funds and fuels so many industries in our state that, like, you know, like, we don't want to poke that too much, but it's definitely something we're going to have to reconcile with.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's well said, Chad. And to that, you know, we're really careful because growth isn't always a bad thing. You know, we are not anti-development and we are not anti-growth or anti-economy. In fact, conservation, and I'm by conservation, I mean thoughtful land protection, really complements and adds to a thriving economy. And so, you know, in our growth episode, we wanted to showcase examples of how communities want to grow, where communities want to grow, how communities were responding to growth, what the consequences are for growth that goes unchecked. Chad and I want to live here, right? We love Florida. We wanted to raise our families here. We want to own businesses here. We want to see Florida thriving, and we want to see Florida's economy thriving. But with that, you know, we also fully acknowledge that you have to protect our special places in order to have long-term health of our state. And so, to Chad's point, talking about growth is not easy, and it is not fun, and it makes people really uncomfortable. But it's a conversation that we absolutely have to have. We needed to have it 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We need to have it today. And so we leaned into that discomfort. And I think the growth episode is really strong. And I think it's really important and extra timely.
Well, and, you know, Florida, you know, does sprawl so well. You know, I asked that question, like, did we invent sprawl? And, you know, I don't think we technically invented it, but we sure perfected it. And we've gotten really good at it. You know, the fact of the matter is people move from typically areas that are a little congested, like maybe an urban setting or a city setting, they come to Florida and they want a nice big yard. You know, they want room to stretch out, and they don't want to grow up anymore. They don't want to build up. They want to, you know, they want a yard, and they want, you know, space to roam. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to look at is, you know, how we build communities, you know, trying to build more vertical than horizontal and looking for ways to not sprawl and to keep resources within a confined area. And, you know, but that's way easier said than done. You know, it just is. That's a very complex situation. 1000 Friends of Florida is a great group out there that's really trying to educate people on what you can do to not to fight growth, but to keep in touch with it and how it's affecting your community, and how to have a voice for, you know, when you see something that you oppose to. You know, that's really what it takes, you know, is people more, we need more people a part of that conversation pressing in, versus like driving, you know, going away for a week and coming back home being like, oh my gosh, when did they build this? It's all of, you know, that lot is knocked down. The trucks are out there. It's too late. You know, a lot of people don't even realize what's happening in their own community. So staying engaged and being, you know, a part of that conversation is really important.
And I'll point folks to the episode we did with Haley Bush from 1000 Friends of Florida. And the title was Growing Smart in Florida. Yeah. It's talking about how do we just not do things that are wasteful, that are going to be failed projects. I mean, we can look at so many conservation areas in Florida that look like they've been laid out like developments. That's all, it didn't work. And then the state gobbled it up, or someone did, and made a conservation, but it was just an unneeded expansion ultimately failed. And we're going to see more of that. But, you know, something I like to say, and I got this from Craig Pittman, is, you know, here in Florida, the economy, the environment is the economy. So if beaches aren't clean, if water's not clean, if it's not beautiful sunny days and all that, people aren't going to want to be here. So it's so interconnected. It's not opposed, like Tracy was saying.
He's right about that, for sure.
So, you know, do you think there's room in this world of conservation, especially here in Florida, for more media? Like, is this a need that you see?
Well, I think, you know, and I call this stuff, and to put it in a bucket or a title, environmental storytelling. And we're seeing more and more of this, because each of these environmental issues has a story to tell. You know, Carlton Ward with his Path of the Panther is just one example of somebody who has told a story about an animal, but ultimately it's an environmental story. It tells a much bigger story of what's happening in Florida from an environmental standpoint. And that has gotten national, global attention through his piece that he's done. So that's a great example. And that's definitely what we want to aspire to. But on a smaller level, there are so many people coming out of college who have this kind of environmental storytelling passion. And they're out there, you know, filming little birds and putting together stories and social media, telling these stories. And I think it's awesome. I mean, I've had long conversations with Carlton and his group, Wildpath. That's really what they're trying to do, is identify, build in, and train these storytellers so they can go out and tell these stories. You know, when I was growing up in film, you needed $100,000 of equipment to tell a story. Now, you know, you need a phone and a computer. So it's so easy to get these stories out there. I think it's hugely important. I think nothing has moved the needle in this space like media. It's just one of those things, man. When you can put it in front of somebody, it just makes sense and people get it. And it to me, it's a game changer. And it's, you know, it's not to get off topic here, but it's one of the reasons I went to University of Florida's Florida Friendly Landscaping Program. I'm like, look, you guys have a great program, but you're using a brochure to communicate it. Like, let's turn this into a TV show. And it's been very successful in trying to get people to look at their yard like it's their own nature preserve and treat it with Florida Friendly principles, less water, less nutrients. So that's just another example of the power of media, taking these environmental stories and turning it into actionable content that people can wrap their heads around. And that's what Protect Our Paradise was. You know, me and Tracy talk about, for me, this should be required viewing. You know, when you drive across that state line, if you're moving here, there should be a little place that you have to pull over and you have to sit in a theater and you have to sit and watch Protect Our Paradise, and you can get back in your car and then you can go on to Florida. Like, I feel that strongly about that. It should be that kind of thing, required viewing, because it's a baseline, right? It's like, okay, this is where we are. And we try to make it evergreen. We try to make sure this is going to last a while. I think everybody living here should have to watch this.
Yeah. I mean, I second that. It should be mandatory viewing to be a Floridian.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Tracy? You know, as with your goals at Conservation Florida, you know, it sounds like some ranchers already reached out. So that's awesome. You know, that's what y'all are doing. But do you feel like, with your goals and what you need to do in the nonprofit space, that this kind of media is important to continue producing? I feel like it's not often used, probably because the funding isn't there for it half the time. And you've got, you know, everybody I know in your position is working so hard and so busy, they don't have time to think about this kind of stuff. But what would you say? Is there a future with this kind of stuff at Conservation Florida?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, Florida, we've got a lot of, we'll call them fun facts and issues. But one thing we are absolutely doing right is conservation, land conservation, lately and in our history. I mean, we have really set the stage and set the example for how we go about conserving our state. And, you know, we've already got about 30% of our state conserved. I would love to see another 10 to 20% conserved. We're funding land conservation. We have skilled boots on the ground, practitioners saving land every day. And a big part of why we're successful in Florida and why I think we'll continue to see success in Florida is because of the power of storytelling. You know, we have had incredible artists, incredible Floridians sharing Wild Florida through different mediums, podcasts, social media, film, TV, and all of that combined, I think, has really sparked a ton of interest, not only with the average Floridian. We're connecting with our state leaders and our state change makers and philanthropists and landowners and more artists. And it's an incredible tool. And so, yes, Conservation Florida, I mean, we are big believers in the power of storytelling, in the power of TV and the power of film and the power of all of these tools to not only change the hearts, but change the minds of people that can really make a difference.
I love it. And I think one reason it's so successful here is that it's so surprising. People just don't see this side of Florida. I mean, you look at any of the episodes that y'all produced, every scene almost is just what it's not what people think of when they think of Florida. So I think one, it's It's got that typical Florida strangeness to it. Like, what? This is Florida? No kidding. And also, and I tell people this too around the country, is like, I think there's a lot of hope riding on this story. Like, can Florida do this really? I think the people out west, people in other parts of the world even, they're like, can Florida really make a functional, expansive corridor? If so, we absolutely have a chance to do that. If Florida can, 1,000 people a day are moving there. It's a tiny peninsula. If they can do this, we can do this. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of hope all around the country and world riding on if we can make this happen. And historically, like you said, 1/3 of the state's already protected. That's huge news. And Clay Henderson really helped put that into perspective, that we're really closing the book on this closing the chapters of this book. Our generation is really going to be the one that decides kind of the future of a lot of these remaining pieces of land that are either on the side of the development or on the side of protection. So I think stories like this are going to continue to be important. Well, let me ask you this. I prefaced the conversation with this, but it could be through your own stories. It could be through some of the stories that we're hearing. It could be just through your experience in life here in Florida. Each of you, I want you to answer, what right now is giving you the most hope about successfully protecting wild Florida?
This podcast.
I'm a little biased, so I'm going to say, yeah, I agree, but continue.
Well, look, I think what gives me the most hope is that conservation is cool and it's trending. And, you know, again, when I grew up, conservation wasn't cool. There was a certain stigma attached to environmentalists and that movement. And I just love that so much of that is gone. And, you know, even some of these big orgs that just never played well together are realizing, like, look, we can move the needle so much better if we kind of join forces and work together. And to me, that's the biggest thing. That's what I would say, getting back to your question, Mason, about what debunked, like, what did I go into this thinking one thing, but I realized I was wrong? It was that I didn't think these groups played well together. And I think I had that mentality from growing up and seeing these groups not play together. But man, they do, and they are. Everywhere I went, I would be like, now, do you guys talk to this? Are you guys interact? And I was like, yeah. You know, we work together. And I think the connectivity of these orgs moving in the same direction is huge. And look, all these orgs have been there doing these things, but they've been in silos for a long time. And now, like, all that is gone and it is this one voice. And I think that's what's the most powerful thing. And that's what gives me the most hope is even something like Department of Ag and Secretary Sean Hamilton, like, his mission is like to bring everybody under the tent. Like, I want everybody in here. I don't care if we agree or disagree. And I think that kind of leadership at the very top is huge. That would be my answer.
Yeah, that's great, Chad. I hear you on that. For me, it's similar. Actually, it brings me a ton of hope every day, really. And it is something surely that I was really complimented and added to this hope was filming the show. But my hope lies in Floridians. Mm-hmm. You know, overwhelmingly, Floridians care about Florida. And time and time again, Floridians have been given the chance to choose conservation, and we do. Every single time we do, even in places that you wouldn't imagine in a million years would choose conservation or choose, for example, to tax themselves for conservation. And we do. And in the show, we showcase Polk County. And I swear, if we can pass a conservation referendum in Polk County, we can do it anywhere in Florida. And Polk County said, heck yes, this is Florida. We love this state. I am so moved by Floridians, and I'm inspired by people like Chad and people like you, Mason, and all of the people that we met filming the show and that we get to continue to meet that support conservation. That's what fills my cup, and that's what keeps me going. And I thank you for that question, because it was really cool to reflect on that.
I love that. That is, you know, you're right. I'm from Polk County, born and raised I live over in Manatee County now, but you know, Polk County. Yeah, I mean, it's the backwoods. It's where the toothbrush was invented. Funny enough, they
really?
Said, yeah, they said if it would have been invented in like Orange County or Seminole County, like y'all are from, I'd be called the teeth brush. I'm like, well, I only got one tooth, so I guess That's great. The toothbrush.
Funny.
I talked to my dad. He doesn't care about this stuff, but he has always thought that it was a hopeless cause to protect Florida. But now he's seeing work through y'all. He's seeing things like this on TV, and he's like, wow, a third of Florida's protected? I had no idea. All I see is the negative. So we'll take us through that. You've told us what gives you hope. My last question for both of you is how can that average Floridian get involved? You know, not everybody has an entertainment or a production studio. Not everybody runs a massive nonprofit that's moving the needle. What are some of the things you've seen just regular everyday folk do that help?
Mm. Well, look, I'm a big component of like getting your hands dirty for people who are willing to connect at that level. And I think for me to kind of go back to our yard show, Flip My Florida Yard, where, you know, because I talk about that, you know, most people will never go to the Everglades. And let's face it, the Everglades is a little wonky. It's not, you know, there's no ride that takes you all through the Everglades. You know, it takes something. It is hard. It's tough to experience the Everglades. That it asks a lot of you. Mm-hmm. And most will never go there. But everybody walks out into their front and backyard. You know, I think your connection to the land for a lot of people starts right there because it's all connected. What you do on your yard and your landscape, it's all connected. It's all flowing south and it all makes its way to Lake Okeechobee and, you know, without going into too much detail, but enough to say it's all connected. And I think that's a great place for people to start. But, you know, ultimately, I would say get involved in some way, shape or form that connects you to the land, even if it's getting out and experiencing what Florida is so you can have a good idea of what's at stake here, whether it's going to a state park or a piece of land that Conservation Florida has protected or it's protected. I think that connection to the land, whether it's in your yard or out in some space, is really important because you know, you kind of have to experience that to kind of know what's at stake and what we're talking about. So that's what I would say to people is to get out, get your hands dirty, start working on what you can control and what you can oversee, and then expand beyond that to some areas around you. So you can take in, you know, what we're trying to save here and what the goal is.
Heck yeah. And I just want to say, you know, Mason, not everybody paddle boards the entirety of Lake Okeechobee either. Your contributions have been really cool as well. But I'd say for anyone listening who believes in protecting our paradise and wants to see Florida's special places protected, should, like Chad said, get involved in some way. There are, you know, dozens of awesome nonprofits that I would encourage you to reach out to, volunteer, give, be an advocate, share information about them. You know, I'd love for all of the listeners to get involved with Conservation Florida. Reach out to us. You know, we would love to have you on our team, and we can't do this work alone. So whether it's, you know, getting involved in a local beach cleanup or becoming a monthly supporter, you know, get involved, but don't do nothing.
That's the most important. Don't do nothing. I'm going to save that. I like that. You know, my dad always says, stay busy, you know, whatever, just stay busy. And, I like that a little bit better though. Don't do nothing. That's the worst thing you can do is nothing. There's always mm-hmm. something to do, whether it's, yeah, helping people get bear proof trash cans. And what's cool, about, your yard, Chad, is like, I'm looking at your background with the gators and the shark teeth, and those aren't, that's not wild Florida. Those are reminders of memories you've had out there, times you spent together. And yeah, that came from those places, but it's really to inspire you for your next trip and just to remember these things and to get back out there. Your yard can kind of do that. It's not going to be maybe a part of the corridor itself, but those pine trees, those sable palms, that grass type can, one, definitely attract certain wildlife, but also almost remind you of these places you love. Like, you know what? I need to go back out to Mayakar. I need to go back out to Ocala. And it's also providing a benefit. So that, I don't know. I just thought of that. And I've never really thought about my yard that way exactly. But I love that. Make your yard better and don't do nothing.
I love it.
For those who want to watch Protect Our Paradise, you can watch it on the streaming channel, the Discover Florida channel. It functions just like a Netflix, Apple TV, Roku, Amazon. You download it, watch it anywhere, laptop, phone, TV. You can binge watch all 6 episodes.
Very bingeable.
Very bingeable. Yeah. Well, great, y'all. Tracy Dean, the conservation machine.
That's my name. Like that.
Chad, I don't have a rhyme for you. I'm sorry. All right. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See y'all.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. You can learn more about Tracy and Conservation Florida at conservationfla.org. You can learn more about Chad at crawfordentertainment.tv. And to watch Protect Our Paradise for free, go to discoverfloridachannel.com.